content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Do you want to go higher, baby? You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Berrientos. I've got Rosalie Robinson in studio with me and Daniel Tague. How you guys doing?
Awesome.
Good. I haven't seen you since the fur ball.
I know, but that was such a fun time. I actually almost adopted that cute dog. It was so adorable. I had to keep kicking myself and going, no, don't do it.
Dogs are great. Why didn't you do it? You travel a lot, though, too.
I travel a lot. That's one thing. But besides that, you know, dogs, like children, require a lot of love and attention.
Yeah, they do.
And money.
Yes. Well, you almost adopted Brad and Jeff. Before they were Brad and Jeff, you came out to visit them.
Yeah, it was one of them I would have adopted. That's why I didn't get them, because I wasn't getting Brad and Jeff. It would have been.
Jeff is the more lively one, if you will.
The one yapping, the barker?
Yeah.
It was the other one I was going to adopt.
You know,
that's right.
He's a BA dog. Like, he's pretty, he's a good watchdog, even though he's a...
yapper?
What is he? What kind of breed is he now? Shih Tzu.
He's
a Shih Tzu.
Yeah.
They're Chinese guard dogs.
Yeah, well, he's a little yapper. He yaps all the time.
Well, he doesn't yap that much. I think, because you have brought your other dog with you, your dog, your beautiful, what's your big dog's name?
Angus. After the beef.
Yeah, right. And so you brought Angus, and I think he just wanted to, you know, he was trying to...
He's trying to say, "Hey, this is my territory, dude. Yeah. I don't know how you could show up at my house."
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, and you know, you get any two men together, you know, they're going to... Never mind.
That's another topic.
That's another topic, yeah.
We'll cover that later.
They're going to try to out-pee one another, right?
I like that one. Mostly out-bark for sure that day.
what we're talking about with you today, this is very interesting. I saw it in Harvard Business Review, which you get as well. Men buy more from manly men. So we're going to talk all about that. We've got Dom DiAgostino coming on, doing keto with Dom DiAgostino. That's always great. He's so knowledgeable. He's one of the most brilliant minds out there, especially in the keto world. He's a scientist. He works with NASA. I could go on and on. He's incredibly credible.
Yeah. He applies what he researches too.
He what?
He applies what he researches.
Oh, like, yeah, yeah.
He'll do an intermittent fast for like 7 days and come out and do like deadlifts of 700 plus pounds. Like,
yeah.
And then go speak on intermittent fasting and the health benefits.
Yeah. Wow. And actually, like it's going mainstream now. There was an article on CNN News yesterday about intermittent fasting and how powerful it can be to improve a lot of health problems like diabetes, which is one of the things we're going to talk about today. We're also going to talk with you, Daniel, about working out barefoot, which is something I do all the time. I work out barefoot. I dance barefoot. Once in a while, I'll have like my boots on or something. But, you know, if I break into a good dance, but anyway.
But barefoot's probably the preference.
Barefoot's best.
Well, it's funny because I have a girlfriend who, she only runs barefoot. So she loves to run, and she runs miles and miles barefoot. And
I'm barefoot.
Always barefoot.
On concrete?
Well, now don't ask me where
she runs.
Or
like on a track.
I know she runs. She likes to do runs through like foresty kind of areas.
Holy smokes.
I just, for me, I'm like anything under my foot other than a shoe, and I'm a little bit wigged out.
Does she like legit go barefoot, or does she have like one of those socks that kind of cover up and protect the feet, or does she have the five finger
shoes?
No, she goes legit barefoot because when she wears shoes, she said she doesn't like it as much. She can't feel.
Right.
And it impacts her, so she tends to like to run barefoot.
Cool.
When she runs like a marathon or something, I think she uses her sneakers, you know, because of just, you know, you don't know the terrain, you're not familiar with it, but I'm gathering where she runs because she's so familiar with it.
Right.
She's probably much more comfortable with it, so she runs a lot of distances.
Well, I miss barefoot. Okay, I've been that way since I was a kid, and I can't imagine going out running like on concrete without shoes.
Well, it would be bad on concrete without shoes. Like, we are not built to run barefoot.
Well, or even grass. You know, sometimes, not sometimes, almost daily, I walk out to either my recycling or my garbage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my front yard's pretty big, and so I walk across this one part of it barefoot. And, you know, it's got crabgrass in there, and then I maneuver around the rabbit holes. And
I was going to say, you got, like, 2 yards in your front yard. Yeah. I mean, people on the radio have no idea about the size of this woman's house. I'm telling you. Okay. She's got 2 other people's yards in her yard. So when she said she's crossing a yard, she's like crossing some major roadways.
It's 3.5 acres. That's not that much.
There's an airplane hangar on your property. Come on.
Helicopter.
Okay, helicopter. Stand corrected. Yeah. Helicopter.
Yeah. I didn't build it. Yeah, we won't even go there.
I would be scared I would step on something.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you, like with your friend, she has calluses built up, like her feet are really tough. If you did
she's
it consistently and walked on the grass, like, yeah.
Yeah.
24/7, then your foot would be able to sustain the crap grass and all that. But walking on the grass would be really good for you.
Yeah.
Get the grounding effect. Go out there, do some sun
gazing. Go out, do it every day, but I can't imagine running. And, you know, that's the thing. Walking,
on a twig.
Yeah.
But even walking, there's little tiny pebbles.
Exactly.
Those hurt the worst.
Yeah.
Again, if your feet are tough enough for it, like when I was fighting fires.
Who wants
like,
tough feet as a woman?
Well, yeah. The, like,
we go to get a pedicure.
Yeah. Who wants to have be in bed with some brutally, I don't even know. That. Is that a word? Like just your feet are just like all jacked up?
A callousy.
Yeah.
That's gross.
Ouch,
like my women clients
hurts.
Always hate it when I work them out
course,
and they get calluses.
You don't want to be in.
It's the worst.
Have somebody's feet in bed with you that are like all feminine. If they're a man, you want manly feet, right?
But definitely not, you know, three-toed sloth toes, okay? I don't need the claws and all that crap. No just,
but
you know.
What's a manly foot?
I was just going to say, what's a manly man? So is a manly man a guy with like a lot of hair? You know, on his chest, like
could be.
As long as
I'm not peasied up and I need a comb to get it back out. No, that'd be bad.
It depends on what generation you are, too. It's like we took some pictures, and I usually wear an undershirt with my Telos uniform, and so we couldn't wear an undershirt for this, and so my chest hair is showing.
Do you have a lot of chest hair, Daniel?
Well, I have a normal amount. It's not
what's
like
normal.
I don't know.
Now you're truly starting to get into me.
Yeah,
right.
That's normal. That's normal.
It's like I have hair, but it's not like Grizzly Adams. But
he had to like pull his shirt down just so everybody knows. It was about like 3 inches down.
I've never really talked about this, I don't think, or asked this, or even maybe thought about it. It's a testosterone thing because women don't have hair in their chest, hopefully.
Well, hopefully,
well, maybe around their areas.
Do men trim their chest hair? Is that
sometimes
a thing?
They do.
Yeah, sometimes they do. Sometimes they wax it, like especially if you're in competition, you'll wax it.
I've only seen that on movies.
And some guys actually shave it every single day. Like, you know, bodybuilder types, like they'll shave their forearms, like they'll just shave everything.
Yeah.
But the younger generation, like one of our female trainers is probably like 22. She's like, oh my goodness, you have so much chest hair. You need to shave. I'm like, no, this is what a man
looks like.
It's like, you date little boys. Like, this is what a man looks like.
Did you really say that?
It's so funny. Well, they call it manscaping. They call it manscaping.
That's another area.
I was just going to say, I thought that was a different area.
No. Well, manscaping's the whole body, isn't it?
I didn't think so. I thought it was.
Heard of it in movies, anyways. It's always the other area.
Mm-hmm. It is?
Yeah. Always.
I didn't know.
Down south.
Yeah.
I thought manscaping was like the whole man, not just part of the man.
No, it's just a certain part of the man.
Yeah, a certain part. That's what I thought. But we could be wrong. I mean, if listeners know differently, they should definitely teach
you. Well, but why do
you know?
Men? They do. They remove all the hair from their chest. I mean, the back, I get it. I mean, like a really hairy guy. It's like
in all
the back.
Movies, though, in all the movies, like, you know, Thor, the guy who plays Thor and stuff, like, they always shave their chest so they're, like, clean shaven so you see more definition. Yeah. So everyone thinks now that, like, that's what you need to look like. So it's not, though.
Be who you are. Yeah. If you're hairy, if you're fuzzy,
just
be fuzzy.
Own it. Own it.
And if she doesn't like it, then she's not the right girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, she might be the right girl. Maybe you just need to shave it for a minute. And
because
get used to you and you can grow it back.
I don't know about that. That's
what's
interesting.
Funny? People always want what they can't have, right? Like, there's certain people that have chest hair and they try to shave it to none. And then there's, like, again, a couple of our trainers have no chest hair and they're older guys, right? And they have, like, one little hair. Like, look, I got a hair.
Are you for real? Like, one little hair in the middle of their chest?
Like,
that's
the men
funny.
Who can't grow beards.
That's called a wild hair.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
But there are certain nationalities that tend to just have less hair and some nationalities that tend to have more. Like, yes. Native Americans tend to not be able to grow out facial hair and they have no hair chest.
Really?
Usually.
I'm not hairy at all for a girl. Yeah. Girls aren't supposed to typically be hairy, but, you know, usually darker hair, you have more, you just have more hair. Mm-hmm. So, like, I've never had a lot of hair. Well, and my hair that I have is kind of thin.
Well, and some,
you know,
some women
I get that.
And fine, right?
Yes, I get that.
Yeah.
I get that.
That's one of the reasons I like to get it colored. It, like, roughs my hair up to give it more volume.
Really? I always thought that thins your hair.
Mm-mm. Not if you do it right.
Oh.
No, it makes it, I mean, you can get breakage.
Yeah.
If,
yeah.
you know, you do too much color or leave it on too long, but no. All interesting hair talk here today.
I know how we got all the way around the horn to this. I don't even know how we got to that topic.
I don't know,
but we've got a great show coming up, everyone. Like I said, we've got Dr. Dom DiAgostino doing keto with Dom DiAgostino. We're going to be talking about diabetes, intermittent fasting, a lot of things that are all connected. Rosalie Robinson, Men Buy More from Manly Men, and Daniel Tagg talking about working out barefoot. Stay tuned, everyone. You are listening to One Life Radio.
Consider this an invitation to relax and feel the stress melt away with a Sunlighten sauna. Sunlighten is the number one choice for home and commercial infrared saunas. Their 3-in-1 infrared technology allows you to customize each session to you. Naturally de-stress, detoxify, and be heart healthy. Relieve pain, purify your skin, and increase energy. A Sunlighten sauna is a place to heal, a place to reflect, a place to invest in you. Visit them at sunlighten.com.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of H Hemp Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started a company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from H Hemp Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try H Hemp Company products. Search H Hemp Company and use code OLR for 20% off and free shipping. That's HM Company and code OLR to feel better naturally and calm your brain.
Hi guys, it's me, Bernadette. You know I would never mislead you. When I first heard about the Squatty Potty, I was like, what? And now I can't even imagine my life without it. Get your Squatty Potty at Target, Vitamin Shoppe, Kohl's, or Costco, or online at SquattyPotty.com. That's SquattyPotty.com. Poo-poo-pee-doo.
Give your body some soul with Sun Warrior's new Soul Good Protein Bars. Sun Warrior is committed to making the best plant-based proteins and superfood supplements from the finest organic ingredients across the globe. Soul Good Bars have an amazing profile. They have 17 to 19 grams of clean organic protein, very low sugar, and 16 to 17 grams of fiber. They're available in delicious flavors like Blueberry Blast, Coconut Cashew, Cinnamon Roll, and Salted Caramel. Check them out online at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. And give your adventure some soul.
Hey, Bernadette here. Wouldn't it be great if there was a place where everything was gluten-free? Well, now there is. It's the Gluten-Free Expo, and it's coming to Dallas Market Hall on October 27th and 28th. Bring the whole family, take free classes, buy hard-to-find items, and get coupons and samples of hundreds of delicious gluten-free products. Get your tickets online at gfexpo.com. That's gfexpo.com. Or at the door. Mention radio for $5 off each ticket. The Gluten-Free Expo at Dallas Market Hall on October 27th and 28th. Don't forget to mention radio for $5 off each ticket. See you there.
This is Jill with the One Life Radio Fueling Champions Minute. Did you know magnesium is a cofactor in more than 300 enzyme systems that regulate diverse biochemical reactions in the body, including protein synthesis, muscle and nerve function, blood glucose control, and blood pressure? Magnesium is required for energy production, oxidative phosphorylation, and glycolysis. That's a mouthful. How do you know if you're getting enough? Signs and symptoms of possible magnesium deficiency include restless leg syndrome, agitation, insomnia, muscle stiffness, cramping, and aches. Well, where do you find magnesium? Food sources include raw almonds, leafy greens like cooked spinach and chard, raw cashews, pumpkin seeds, black beans, avocados, and my favorite, dark chocolate. Don't forget those Epsom salt baths and be smart about supplementation. This has been the One Life Radio Fueling Champions Minute.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray. I've got Rosalie Robinson, Daniel Tagg in studio with me, and Dr. Dominic D'Agostino on the line. He is a tenured associate professor in the Department of Molecular Pharmacology and Physiology at the University of South Florida Morsani College of Medicine. He is also a research scientist at the Institute for Human and Machine Cognition, that's the IHMC. His laboratory develops and tests nutritional strategies and metabolic-based supplements for neurological disorders, seizures, cancer, and metabolic wellness. He was a research investigator and crew member on NASA's Extreme Environment Mission Operation, NEEMO-22, and he has a personal interest in environmental medicine and methods to enhance safety and physiological resilience in extreme environments. His research is supported by the Office of Naval Research, the Department of Defense, as well as private organizations and foundations. You can find Dr. Dominic D'Agostino at ketonutrition.org. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much for jumping on with us today, Dr. D'Agostino.
And thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, I love what we're talking about today because so many people in this country are suffering with diabetes or pre-diabetes. So that's kind of what we want to focus on today. So let's talk a little bit about that, about managing diabetes with nutrition. Can you give us an overview of type 1 diabetes and how most people are told to eat by their physicians?
Sure. I want to make the distinction that type 1 diabetes is insulin dependent, in contrast to type 2 diabetes, which is more common with adult onset, and that's more likely to occur to be associated with obesity and weight gain.
Mm-hmm.
So with type 1 diabetes, which we've covered in our blog on keto nutrition, which goes into all the details if your listeners are interested in that, the history is such that the biology of the disease is, it's essentially an autoimmune disorder where your body, for reasons we don't completely understand, attacks the beta cells of the pancreas, which produce insulin.
Wow.
And by and most type 1 diabetics really have no very little or no potential or ability to produce insulin. So they need to manage their glucose levels with insulin. And there are many dangers associated with trying to manage your blood glucose with insulin.
Mm-hmm.
And typically what not only blood glucose levels are measured, but also glycated hemoglobin,
mm-hmm.
or HbA1c. And you generally want to keep that in the range of 4 to say about 6%. And type 1 diabetics are considerably higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
And because of this, because of the wild fluctuations in blood glucose, there's, you know, you have low lows, which could be dangerous. You could go unconscious. And also very high levels of glucose, which is basically like a silent killer because it's really putting your organs at a tremendous burden, your eyes. It makes you 4 to 8 times more likely for cardiovascular disease,
mm-hmm.
4 times more likely risk for cancer, 3.5 times more likely for kidney disease, an 80% chance of vision impairment and things like cognitive decline, you know, throughout the duration of that person's life. And it's really going to statistically can cut your life short by about a decade.
Wow.
And that can be, you know, evidence indicates that if you can manage your blood glucose and really control the variability in your blood glucose and lower that hemoglobin A1C, you can get that 10 years back and you can mitigate all the potential consequences associated with that. So that's what we're really interested in. And I have a PhD student of mine who gave a TEDx talk, Andrew Kutnick.
Yes,
that really,
I watched it.
You know, yeah, and it's really his personal story. And, you know, he's very educated and he's able to sort of implement this kind of outside of the guidelines, right, of what's really prescribed, which mm-hmm. is a high carbohydrate diet.
Right.
It's generally used, and that's used for a variety of different reasons, some of it more historical, but really because it's thought that people would not be able to comply. Compliance is a big issue with the diet. Mm-hmm. And so a high carbohydrate diet would require higher insulin to manage that. A low carbohydrate diet, which is recently studied, there was a publication by Lenners et al., a Harvard study, also Duke and Indiana were part of this study, that clearly showed the benefit of using a carbohydrate-restricted diet for the metabolic management of type 1 diabetes. So we're really entering, the science is really supporting the application of low carb and even nutritional ketosis for the management of type 1 diabetes. And when I, you know, gave lectures going back 8 to 10 years ago, I would say, you know, this, if you are type 1 diabetic, this is something that you definitely want to stay away from. So I would personally say that, and most of what I do is, you know, has to do with neurological effects of the diet, anti-seizure mm-hmm. effects, but we are now studying the glucose regulation effects. And now I actually have to change. Well, Andrew convinced me and a group on Facebook called Type 1 Grit, and the participants in that Facebook group were actually there was 316 patients, I think, in the Harvard study where they analyzed their data from the Type 1 Grit group on Facebook. And this data was used, and it clearly showed a major advantage to low-carbohydrate mm-hmm. diets on lowering glucose variability and the requirement or dependence, the high dependence of insulin.
Well, isn't it, these diet recommendations, aren't they made by like the American Dietitian or Dietetic Association and the American Medical Association, as well as a lot of other, you know, medical associations recommend this diet, correct?
They do. And the diet, so right before getting on, from time to time, I do a deep analysis of what they're actually recommending. And I am seeing some low carb sort of mentioning of it in the literature online through all the different platforms. But the primary diet that they are still recommending is a diet that's primarily based upon grains, starches, and legumes. And under grains, they list pasta, bread, cookies, and crackers.
Mm-hmm.
So this should be essentially the foundation of the diet.
Well,
you know, and they do, you know, there is a recommendation now that they've added that it's favorable to choose carbohydrates that have a lower glycemic index on the American Diet ADA website.
Right.
But the basis of the diet is really grain, starch, legumes and undergrains, pasta, bread, cookies, crackers. I mean, from our experience, this is really not what you want to be consuming.
Well, you know, you said it was an autoimmune disorder. I never heard that, but it makes perfect sense, especially when you say you have these wild fluctuations, because I have autoimmune disorder and I never know where it's going to hit me. You know, I never know, but I will say this, now that I have myself on just a very, very healthy diet and exercise routine for the last 6 years, 7 years, basically, the last 7 years, I have not had anything major as far as an autoimmune disorder attack my body. So that's the big key here, isn't it?
It is. You know, with a type 1 diabetic, the damage is done. And there's quite a bit of research, you know, with stem cells and other things to help regenerate the insulin-producing beta cells of the pancreas. There's a number of researchers studying that. But essentially, the damage is done, and you're not going to get back a functional mm-hmm. pancreas. So they are really stuck with using insulin. And we're not saying that that you can get off of insulin, but if your requirement is 30 IUs of insulin a day, it's very common to reduce that down to 5 or 6 IUs of insulin a day. So what does that mean in practical terms? That means a dramatic decrease in the variability of your glucose over time. Mm-hmm. And it's those postprandial spikes in glucose and the dips in glucose that could really be devastating to the type 1 diabetic patient. So that is virtually abolished, if not significantly attenuated, mm-hmm. when you reduce your carbohydrate, because you're not chasing your blood glucose.
Right. It makes sense.
With these fluctuations. So the patients like my student who wear a continuous glucose monitoring system, like a Dexcom, they have reported, and they can show all their data over the course of a week and show it before and after implementation of a low-carb diet. And just by looking at the glucose fluctuations in the course of a week before and after, it's very clear that the person following this diet is going to add many years to their life, mm-hmm. over time, because that's going to pay big dividends, because getting your glucose in the 300 to 400 milligram per deciliter range is doing damage to your organs, to your eye, to other systems in the body that you don't necessarily feel, right? And
yeah.
You do feel, if you go, my student before, I've caught him before he was really implementing this in a low glycemic, a hypoglycemic episode. It's very scary, mm-hmm. because they can essentially go unconscious.
You're speaking
but
about
that's also controlled.
But you're speaking about Andrew Kutnick, right? They did the
yeah.
TED Talk. It was so interesting.
Yeah.
And how he reduced his insulin was remarkable. And then I have to tell you, so last night it just happened to come across a friend of mine's newsfeed, and she sent it to me. CNN had reported this story that after intermittent fasting, there was three men that no longer take insulin for diabetes, but experts stress caution. What do you say about intermittent fasting and diabetes?
Yeah, so that's kind of interesting you bring that up. So yesterday, we periodically get low-carb foods, like we had a ketogenic brownie, sent to us to just, like, try. And it was late in the day. I was about to go home, and Andrew was, stopped by the office, and he was, checking out his glucose monitor, and I wanted him to test this product. And I asked him, when's the last time you ate? And he's like, well, I didn't eat anything today. And I know he does intermittent fasting. I'm not sure if he does it every day now, but his glucose number was just completely steady at like 70, 75 throughout
wow.
the day. And he was in the lab, working nonstop. He was dissecting tumors from animals. He's a cancer researcher.
Mm-hmm.
So he did not have to stop, prepare, eat, and clean up food. So it makes him more efficient in the lab. So
yeah.
I like that, right?
Absolutely.
Amazing anyway. But the point is that, going an entire day without food, if you told that to an endocrinologist who manages, patients with type 1 diabetes,
mm-hmm.
they would just, freak out. They would say that's the most dangerous thing to do. But Andrew and other members of the type 1 grit community are implementing, if not intermittent fasting, drastically reduced meal frequency, going from 5 or 6 meals a day, which they thought was needed to maintain stable glucose, to like 1 or 2 meals a day, or maybe 3 meals a day. But many people do 1 or 2 meals a day, incorporating this intermittent fasting, maybe eating within a 6 or 8 hour window. And it does wonders for mm-hmm. their glucose measurement.
Well, I wish I could keep you on here the whole show. Such interesting stuff. Real quick, because we got to go to break. How does the keto diet affect those with a type 1 diabetes?
How does it affect? Well, what it does is it switches your body essentially from burning glucose as its primary fuel to fats and ketones as a primary fuel.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, less dependence on glucose, especially by elevating ketones for your brain, that really makes the diet much more safe in many ways, as I mentioned. But the main issue I think doctors see is that it's not, people cannot comply with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I know people can. So the limitation from an implementation standpoint is that they think things like intermittent fasting or low carbohydrate diets are much too difficult to implement, even though they're safe
mm-hmm.
and will likely add years to a patient's life.
Yeah,
the ADA is just a little hesitant. But now you see Virta Health is doing a lot of research on this. Harvard and Duke and Indiana are publishing data. And sooner or later, there's going to be sort of even an ethical push here to get patients on these low-carb diets to just improve their health span and longevity.
And that's important. It is always a pleasure. Thank you so much, Dr. Dom DiAgostino. You can find him at ketonutrition.org. Thank you again. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
All right, everyone. Our pleasure. You can find him, as I said, at ketonutrition.org. We'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Today, we're here to tell you about the success of Squatty Potty. Consumers are experiencing the healthful benefits from having the correct posture when eliminating the toxic and harmful fecal waste from their bodies. Now, Squatty Potty has made it portable. Introducing Porta Squatty. Now you can experience the healthful benefits no matter where the road takes you. It easily folds up and fits into a discreet carrying bag the size of a book. Porta Squatty. Available at Bed Bath Beyond, Amazon, or for an exclusive discount of 25% off your entire order, use code ONELIFE at checkout at SquattyPotty.com.
Well-Being Journal is a remarkable bi-monthly health publication esteemed by intelligent readers worldwide. It's available in print or digital, single issues or subscription. Its focus is on living a happy, healthy life and preventing or healing illnesses naturally. Preventing or healing cancer, arthritis, cardiovascular conditions, and digestive issues, as well as nutritional solutions for optimal health, are regular subjects. Learn more at wellbeingjournal.com.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
Hi, everyone. It's Bernadette. Everyone knows that I'm a strong believer in the numerous health benefits of cannabinoids and CBD oils. As with any supplement, I always do my research and my homework to find the highest quality product on the market. That's why I'm so happy to announce our partnership with the H Hemp Company, founded by a group of the most experienced and respected names in the CBD community. H Hemp offers a line of innovative products that are all natural and tested for quality. Choose from flavorful oils, restorative body balm, and minty breath spray, all at affordable prices. And for every H Hemp product sold, the company makes a donation towards the fight against opioid and anti-anxiety drug addiction, an epidemic affecting millions of families across the nation today. H Hemp products produce a sense of calm, fight post-workout inflammation, and the company gives back to our community. What more could we ask for? Search online for H Hemp Company and use the code OLR for 20% off your first order. That's OLR for 20% off your first order.
Did you know there are over 3,000 kinds of snakes? And most, being shy, pose no threat to humans. But they are still feared and killed, even for frivolous fashion. In his poem Snake, D.H. Lawrence marvels at a snake drinking from a water trough. He succumbs to irrational fear and impulsively throws a log at the very animal he admired moments before. He writes, "And immediately I regretted it. I thought how paltry, how vulgar, what a mean act. I despised myself and the voices of my accursed human education. And I wished he would come back, my snake, for he seemed to me again like a king in exile, uncrowned in the underworld." This is Ingrid Newkirk with Peter, reminding us it's easy to be kind by choosing fake snake over real skin for belts, bags, and shoes.
Oh, he's good looking.
You want to sing?
That's bad. Somebody might switch the radio station.
I'm
just
not trying.
For that.
I love this song. It's mindless.
It is.
When you just want to be mindless and drive down the road.
I like the songs where you can whistle. I can do that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray. I've got Aviana in studio with me, Rosalie Robinson and Daniel Tagg. Rosalie Robinson is the Vice President of Human Resources for Motorsport Aftermarket Group, and she is our in-house human resources expert. We're going to be talking about Men Buy More from Manly Men. But for those of you just now joining us, I want you to know Daniel Tagg is an orthokinetic specialist trainer at Telos Fitness Center, and he is certified in orthokinetics, the biomechanics of resistance training, and is a licensed massage therapist and holds belts in three different martial arts systems and was a wildland firefighter. And the reason all that is important is because Daniel is a manly man. So
I like that. Yeah. That was a great lead-in. Yeah, that was really good.
So let's talk about that. Why would a guy buy more from a manly man than just a regular man or a woman?
Well, you know, this is an interesting study because I read it in the article that you had shared with me. And I all of a sudden, as I read through the I had to read it like twice, first off.
Yeah.
As I read through the whole thing, all I could think of is, you know, all those jokes people have about the men standing in the bathroom together and one just
peeing.
Like, takes a glance. I'm not looking. I just take a glance. I'm like, oh. Well,
do they do that?
I can do this further, etc.
I don't.
It's really weird. These are the jokes. Like when I was growing up, that I would, you know, from friends, you know, kind of hear.
Don't be that guy.
So, don't be that guy. But I think to myself, that's kind of some of the mindset, right? Or if you take it to the gym. I'm using my weights, and ooh, I see this guy. He's got 5 pounds heavier. Of course, I can go heavier.
Well, you know what? It's funny that you bring that up because I've heard this from multiple men, and it doesn't. I'm not talking about the bathroom pulling your penis out, but I'm not talking about that. But they do it in other ways.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
always comparing each other to one another, whether it be their finances, their car they drive, how big their muscles are.
Yep.
You know, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's competitive, right? So the whole mindset here is, you know, and it's funny because when they did this study, they went to, a store where you could buy not your typical commodities, not like furniture and things like that, but you're talking clothing and other items that are more personal. And when a manly man is at the front, which means they, and just so people understand,
what's a manly man?
A manly man in this definition is an athletic person. So they chose a person who had, been a runner. And so the muscular structure is kind of visible, not like you're standing naked, but, you know, you got a shirt
Most
on.
Most runners are skinny.
But this person was fit. So they could see that he was, you know, not, we're not talking, Tosh 0.0 over there, skinny, crazy looking folks like he has on his show. We're talking like healthy, looking great at the gym.
Yeah.
That's what I envisioned from the description. And so at the end of the day, this guy's standing at the door and they tried it at different times a day to see how it affected. And what they found is, you know, men would come into the store and they'd spend more. They spend significantly more.
Is it because like a man crush thing?
And that was one of the questions. They said, hey, you know, is there an attraction, right? So is it about sexual orientation or anything of that nature? And the answer is no. They really boil it down to a sense of competition. And it's especially higher with men who are shorter. So men who are shorter go in, and I think of Napoleon complex, right? Okay, so I'm going in the store, big dude, I'll show you, I spend more, right? And I'll go in and do that. Now you ask, well, I was curious, well, what happens to women? It's like, well, yeah, so what?
So
they spend
what?
More too.
So what? No, not necessarily. Okay. No, not necessarily. They found that wasn't necessarily the case consistently for women, if I read the article correctly, but they were impacted by things that were not just a man, right? Mm-hmm. So, because remember, women are used to, it's my beauty, right? It's if I see a beautiful woman and I might be more inclined, it really depends.
Right.
So they were, it depends. It's not always the case, but there was very consistent correlation between a manly man at the door and what I spend in the store. And, you know, I thought about it, though. I thought about it in the context of work. So when I thought about work, kind of the idea of if you elevate someone and there's a sense of competition, oftentimes that may cause people to strive as well, right? So if we spend time highlighting and talking about a leader who's just done a, you know, bang up job and how they communicate, you see they get promotions, they get more responsibility, you assume they're making more money, people start to go, hey, what is that again? How do you do that? Mm-hmm. And they read, they want, it drives them, right? It, that
well, let
competition.
Me ask you this. Did they do this just generally, or did they take the study further? And by that I mean, did they just take attractive people, period? Because, you know, it's no secret that attractive people attract more attention, and therefore, I'm thinking of like pharmaceutical sales, okay?
Oh, yeah.
They always have the beautiful girls go in and like, you know, sell the products to the doctors, right?
Right.
And men too, beautiful men too that sell.
Yes.
To women doctors. It's very targeted.
Well, yes. Yeah.
Right?
Again, it's about the sex appeal, right?
Uh-huh.
But, well, that's interesting that you asked that, because they did use pictures, not just having the physical presence. And they found that pictures elicited very much a similar reaction. So if I had pictures, no matter the time of day, because they varied the time of day, they found that it still impacted shorter men more than, you know,
why are you
everybody
laughing?
Else.
I'm short.
But you're not a man.
I know.
Men have more of a complex with being short than
do
women
they?
Tend to,
yeah.
From what I've seen.
Mm-hmm. Well, like Mick Jagger sure doesn't have a problem with it.
Is Mick Jagger short?
No, I don't think he does. No, for sure.
Would you ask is he short?
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I find out how short. I'm going to guess. Now, I've seen the man several times. I'm going to guess he's like 5'10", maybe.
Bing, bing, bing.
That's not.
Did
oh,
I nail
wow.
it?
Wow. Yeah. That is something
I
else.
I am so good at measuring stuff.
But that's not short. 5'10" is actually slightly above average.
After what you just finished talking about, let's not even talk about that.
What? I used to sell fabric. I did. And I used to cut inches and yards of stuff,
uh-huh,
you know, and
uh-huh.
I'm really good at measuring things.
She can eye it out.
She can eye it out.
That's
I got a
right.
good eye.
I'm so sick of that. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not that short, though.
Yeah, 5'10's not that short.
Yeah, that's like, if he was like 5'.
What's considered
like
short?
5'5.
Yeah,
maybe 5'6, but 5'5 and below.
Tom Cruise height is short.
He's 5'6.
Hey, it's all about the attitude and whether or not you're a gentleman.
The confidence,
yes.
The attitude.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But it'll still make you buy more if you're short.
If you're short, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, maybe
that's what they say.
Maybe that's why I shop so much.
Remember, it's not necessarily consistent correlation.
I'm joking.
But the other thing that's also important to remember that I thought of from this is, you know, this doesn't mean, and they even said it in the article, that you should go run out and start hiring all the fit-looking people and make this a requirement because, oh, my guys are sales guys. I'm going to make sure they're all fit before they go. Because there are other things that happen there. And in the U.S., you know, that's probably not a bona fide occupational qualification. I can't do that. I'm going to find myself on the wrong side of the law.
Yeah. If you say that qualification, yeah, you cannot do that.
Wow. Now that we've offended every short male out there, we're going to go to break. Everyone, we've got more coming up. You can find Rosalie Robinson at conciliumhc.com. More coming up with Daniel too. Tag,
you're it.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one before.
You're listening to One Life Radio.
Hello, I'm Ali McGraw for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Our animal companions rely on us, especially during a natural disaster. If you're forced to evacuate your home, do not leave your animals behind. Visit helpinganimals.com.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
Hi everyone, this is Bernadette. Do you know why I love Paleo Magazine? Paleo Magazine was founded with the purpose of providing readers with the information they need to live strong, vibrant, healthy lives. They are dedicated to partnering with leaders in the paleo community to spread the knowledge of ancestral health principles without the influence of big pharma or big agriculture. Paleo Magazine. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, or visit them at paleomagonline.com. That's paleomagonline.com.
Here's the dill pickle. Squatty Potty works. It's awesome. Find yours at your local Bed Bath & Beyond, Amazon, or squattypotty.com. That's squattypotty.com.
Sun Warrior believes that plants provide the cleanest and most powerful foods, rich in antioxidants, vitamins, minerals, enzymes, and phytonutrients. Our bodies crave real foods, especially in this age where we heavily process everything we eat, stripping out all of the benefits and nutrition well before we have a chance to even use them. Illuminate your body, mind, and the planet with Sun Warrior. To learn more, visit them at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com.
Did you know a mother rat will dip her paws into cool water and gently smooth the fur around her infants' faces? The babies put their arms around their mother's neck and pay attention while being bathed. Rats and mice fall in love, risk their lives to save their kids, and giggle when tickled. Evan Walker writes of a mouse who died of shock in a trap. His life was a life fully as real to him as ours is to us. This creature, for all the irritation it may have brought as it scampered through closed closets or up some crevice in a wall, was as precious as you or I. He was not a machine that breaks and fails. He felt. His was consciousness, full and real and fragile and precious. This is Ingrid Newkirk with Peter, reminding us that it's easy to be kind, perhaps by not using glue traps.
What a great song. One of my all-time favorite songs. Welcome back to One Life Radio. So I'm going to ask Daniel Tagg. Daniel, what is that song, Daniel Tagg?
I have no idea.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, listen for just another sec.
Never heard it.
Do you recognize the voice?
I recognize the voice, but I don't recognize the song.
You don't? Wow. Yeah. You're missing some really great music over the years. We got to get you hip.
Well, you know what's funny? Because someone was talking about like how I'm not very hip on like cultural things and stuff. I'm like, I was up in the woods fighting fires, like traveling Europe. I'm like, what were you doing?
I want to make you a playlist. We need to make Daniel like a playlist so he can have it when he's up in the woods.
Yeah.
Do you still go up in the woods like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I go up for like 4 or 5 days every year, or 3 to 4 days every year by myself.
You didn't know that?
Yeah.
You were gone for like a week a couple of months ago.
Yeah, just with a handful of food, very little food, and hiked 20, 30 miles
He's like
each
a
day.
Woodchuck.
That's right. There's no glamping in your world. That's
no,
right.
No glamping. It's hardcore. There was snow up to my thigh in some places.
Any plumbing?
Mm-hmm. No.
What?
It's called your squat.
Yeah,
gotcha, gotcha.
Which is the best way to do it, which, by the way,
elimination.
I'm going to give a shout out to Squatty Potty. Thank you so much. Squatty Potty is one of our sponsors. We have a lot of great sponsors. We do, because they bring this great programming to you. Great sponsors like Sun Warrior and Sunlight and Saunas, the H-Hemp Company, Paleo Magazine, the Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition, run by our very dear Dr. Joey Antonio. And, of course, Sean Wells is a member and a, what do you call it?
Fellow.
He's a fellow. He's a good fellow.
Jolly good fellow.
Jolly good fellow, he is. But, yeah, so, everyone, you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast and subscribe to our newsletter or the podcast after the broadcast. We recorded one yesterday about sex robots, Rosalie.
I thought that was very interesting.
Did you hear it? You haven't heard it yet. It's not up. It goes up later.
No, I just didn't talk to Avi just now. I found that fascinating. There's just the idea that Houston was even considering it.
I can't even believe that even exists. Like, to me, it is the most insane thing ever.
It sounds so far out there. Mm. But
it's just
happening.
Insane. Yeah. Like, really insane. Like, yeah. I think you have to be crazy. I'm just going to say that to participate in that. And I don't care what your circumstances are. It's weird. It's beyond weird. But you'll hear us talk about it if you listen to the podcast after the broadcast with Dewan Bennett. But today we are talking about working out barefoot. So many people do this. Daniel Tagg is an orthokinetic specialist trainer at Telos Fitness Center right next door to iHeart Media Studios. So why is it good to work out barefoot? Or is it?
Well, it's good for certain people. You need to look at different factors. Like, do you have a high arch, low arch? Do your toes, do you have any, like, bunions? Like, things like that can affect the range of motion with your toes, and it could be a harmful thing then. If you have a flat arch, right, you might not want to work out, like, too long or do too much running type stuff with it. Or if you are doing barefoot running and you're doing it without toes, like Rosalie, you're talking about your friend who does barefoot, you're not going to want to hit heel toe if you go barefoot, and you don't want to do it on pavement. That's going to be bad.
I think she may not feel it now, but I just don't know how that couldn't be so damaging to the bottom of your foot, especially but your heel, like you said, because you're supposed to run toe.
Well, no. There's a big 4-foot running movement, and it can be very beneficial to four. Like when I run, I do 4-foot running myself. And
so for people that don't know what forefront running is, can you explain it?
4-foot, right? So you're hitting,
4-foot.
Yeah, you're hitting kind of more the balls of your feet, and then you're coming down and then back up without necessarily hitting your heel first. You hit the balls of your feet first, then come down.
That's a lot of pressure on even the ball of your foot.
A little bit, but you're actually absorbing a lot with the muscles and the ankles. You have to have very, very strong and very a lot of endurance in your calf muscles. So, yeah. But it does take off.
Well, and you have to have strong ankle muscles, or, you know, like a racehorse, uh-huh. Seriously, or you could really get seriously injured.
You really can. You have to build up to it for sure. Yeah. And that's the thing about barefoot in general is, like, we were born, like, if you believe in God like I do, we were created without shoes, right? We were created uh-huh. to go barefoot on grass and, you know, dirt and rocks and all that kind of stuff. We were not designed to go on this pavement stuff. But when we put our feet in shoes all the time and we haven't come out of them very much, that's where you have to be careful going barefoot,
yeah.
Especially if you're going running or something. And
well, American Indians even had moccasins. I mean, you have to protect yourself from the cold and
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly. So I would say it can be very beneficial for a lot of people, but you also got to look at the factors. Are you working out in a facility that doesn't allow, you know, no shoes? Then it would be bad to work out there with no shoes because you'll get kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could drop weights and things on your feet.
Or you could get
feet.
Athlete's foot.
Exactly. Athlete's foot. Like when you go into the locker room, it's like, man, wear sandals, right? So there's all kinds of different factors. I'd say in general, it's probably a good thing to go barefoot every once in a while and work out like that. You just need to know, hey, you got to be careful not to drop things on the foot. But if you're working out outside or something in your front yard, I'd say it'd be really beneficial to go barefoot because mm-hmm. you're grounding, you're getting all the nutrients from the ground.
Yeah.
Like, it's just
I work out barefoot, but not outside. That's where I draw the line. Like, I would never run barefoot. But
right.
other than that, I love being barefoot.
Yeah, but going outside barefoot is actually a good thing every once in a while. Again, if you're doing running, that's an extreme. Running in and of itself is going to be very taxing on the joints throughout the whole body. You go barefoot, and you better have some very strong feet. You better work up to it, and then you better also go slow as far as, like, not doing too much mileage at first. Because
mm-hmm.
you think of it, there's several, I forget the name of the culture that does it. They run barefoot or in these sandals that they make out of what is it, though?
I'm trying
wheels,
to help you.
Wheels from rubber.
I feel like I'm playing a game
rubber.
Here.
Yeah, from rubber tires. But they, what's the nationality of these people? They are famous for barefoot running. They do everything in their villages. They just run everywhere pretty much barefoot. And they build up calluses and everything. If you were to go barefoot all the time, you build up the calluses to protect
yeah.
you from those things.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If you're in a climate that you don't have to wear moccasins for the cold and all that kind of
yeah.
stuff. But I would say, if you have a flat
arch. Do you grow
arch,
fur on the bottom of your feet?
No.
We could evolve backwards?
I haven't heard of that. But it's like if you're going to run barefoot or you're going to work out barefoot a lot for too long, you got to be careful of flat arches because
mm-hmm.
you're not going to be able to absorb the force of the ground. So you could have a lot more impact on the heel,
okay,
a lot more impact on the back.
You made me think of something because I have really high arches. Now, mm-hmm. is it better to run barefoot if you have high arches?
Again, high arch is a very general term. There's a lot of different things that could go on there. So it's not... It's a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
You have to really do a foot analysis on you.
So if someone wants to work out barefoot in the gym, but the gym has a no-shoe rule, like you said, mm-hmm. what are some options?
So those are the Vibrams. They're 5-foot finger shoes, right, where you have – and those can have different variances. Some of them can have a little bit of support, and some of them have zero support. I have
yeah.
several pair that have zero support.
I wish they were cuter because I really like them.
They are.
They're just so ugly. They're
so
ugly.
Weird.
It's funny. I went to a basketball game once in them, and the girl I took was like, "Really?" I'm like, "I'm okay with it. Whatever." But anyways,
she wore them.
You
no, I wore them.
You wore them.
I wore them. I'm okay.
Did you ever see her again?
Yes, I did.
In public. Got
I did
it.
See her again. But anyways, so
I'm curious.
The 5-finger shoes, or you can get, like, I wear New Balance with Minimus. the New Balance Minimus has a zero drop, which means it doesn't really have that much arch support. It doesn't have that much support in general. Like, I'm kind of twisting it around right now,
oh,
right?
Oh, nice.
So you can,
are those it?
Yeah, these are
I
it.
Like
this
those.
Is what I wear pretty much every day. Unless I'm going to do more long mileage run, I will add some shoes with more padding.
Okay.
Right? But so there's those options of New Balance. There's several other companies that make them as well. But the Vibrams wear those. But mainly if you have bad bunions, I would say it is not healthy for the general part to wear to work out without shoes.
All right. Always great. Daniel Tagg, thank you so much for all the joking around. Great show today. Thank you so much. Rosalie Robinson, always a pleasure to have you guys in studio. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. It means a lot. It really does. Everyone makes this rocket go up, not just us. So you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.